It's always good to come back to Hillcrest and worship with you folks. Jay, I'm glad I was in the pulpit with Jay today. I'm going to mention something about him. We go back a great many years, he and I, in this presbytery. Matter of fact, even when Art Broadwick was here, and I'd say it's over 40 years now, close to it, and it's always good to be with Jay in the pulpit, but I appreciate Jay being the clerk of our presbytery. I don't know of any clerk in all of our PCA churches that does the job that Jay does, and it does it efficiently. And also, he's a good man in your church, I'm sure. Let us turn now to the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning to read in this chapter with verse 15. Hear God's word. And for this reason, he is the moderator of a new covenant, or that word could be translated testament or will, any of those three, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken in Moses to all the people of the according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the holy place, year by year, with blood not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the age, he has been manifested to you away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He put it away. And inasmuch as it appeared or appointed for them to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Thus may God bless to us the reading and understanding of this, his holy word. There is much talk today about the need for security globally, nationally, and locally. But that security is not guaranteed, and in many instances, it is absolutely fleeting. And I would like to share with you today something that is absolutely guaranteed. Not fleeting, and not going away. Most people know what a will is, but many people don't realize that the New Testament is God's will to us. It absolutely is. For in this passage of Scripture, as I mentioned, the word testament or covenant can also be translated will. God gives to us, His heirs, who believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, the inheritance that is promised throughout the New Testament and alluded to even throughout the Old Testament as we read God's Word. If men and women, if you and I, would only realize the impact of this Word to us, we would not refrain by giving ourselves completely to the trust of our Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation, which is given to us by faith in Him as our Savior, whereby you and I are justified before the very bar of God's justice. I know instances, and probably you do too, where men have tried to get information about a will so that they might know what inheritance they are going to receive. Well, I say to you, you and I have an inheritance that we don't need to search for the evidence that we have and that we will inherit, because the New Testament tells us what we are going to inherit. So today I'm going to talk about six items in this passage of Scripture from Hebrews chapter 9. The first is that this will is authentic, my friends. It is absolutely true. It cannot be taken away from. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. And it cannot be destroyed. The second thing I'm going to mention of these six items is that the riches that we receive from this will are in existence and will last forever. The third thing is that we understand who are the heirs from this passage of Scripture in the will that is discussed here in Hebrew. The fourth thing, it is now in effect because the testator, or the one who made it, died. Jesus died, and He made the will. The fifth thing is, it has an executor. Every will must have an executor. And I don't know, maybe some of you are serving as an executor for some wills. I happen to be, and it's not an easy task sometimes. Sixth, and finally, they cannot be broken. This will cannot be broken either. So let us look at, first of all, the authenticity of this will. You know, it's interesting when you think about it that we should have will, shouldn't we? Every one of us is encouraged to have a will, so that what we have left over when we die should go to the person or places that we want it to go. And we should do that. Or we're going to give it to the state, and you know what they'll do with it. This will is not mutilated, my friends. It is not destroyed or changed in any way, and it cannot be. It is finalized. In its pages, God plainly states that the prophecy indicated here came, as we understand it, not by the will of man, not by man's will, but that holy men of God spake it as they were told by the Holy Spirit. And there are eight of them who test to this will. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter and Paul, and Jude and James. Eight of them who are the ones who are the stenographers of this will handed to them by God. So it is a will in effect, and it is true. God's will has been transmitted to us without change. No one else can change it. Many times, people try to break a will or to change it. Our courts oftentimes are clogged with people trying to change wills. Can't do it with this. If you do, you're on dangerous ground, my friend. It is finalized and it is correct. So, secondly, the riches described in this will are absolutely guaranteed. They are guaranteed forever and they will be handed out. When you and I make a will, or other people make a will, there's a possibility that when we die, those promises or those things that are left over are not there. They've been destroyed by a depression or some financial difficulty that we have faced, and so we have nothing to leave. So the will really doesn't leave anything to anyone. But this will leave what it promises to those who are the heirs. Well, who are the heirs? Who are the heirs of this will? Everyone who is saved by faith through grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. So, have you received the Son? I ask the question, only you know, truly in your heart, as God has spoken to you and revealed to you that you can be an heir of the promise of this will. This is clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. It cannot be changed in any way, shape, or form. For as we read in Holy Scripture, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, John the Baptist speaking, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God shall abide in him. John's Gospel tells us that in the 3rd chapter, verse 36. In short now, the inheritance comes only to those who have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. We read in this passage that blood had to be used in the Old Testament to cleanse the people, to cleanse the book. And it moves on into the New Testament. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Christ did that on the cross of Calvary for you and me. You know, my heart breaks when I think about what Jesus did on that cross. That I don't deserve in any way, shape, or form. In other words, nothing even that much can I bring to Christ. I throw myself on the mercy of Him and in Him alone. Nothing in myself I bring, but simply to that cross I cling. That blood was shed for you and me. And it's sufficient, my friend. It's sufficient for us to be called the heirs of the promise throughout all of Scripture. But remember this. Any other faith other than in Jesus Christ, there is no inheritance. Despite what the world says today that other faiths will bring you to God Almighty, it does not happen that way. And too many people today, even in churches, think that there are other ways to God other than through Christ and His sacrifice. Well, third, God's, as we mentioned, God does specify that to us. You know, it's very interesting to note that our Lord offers us an emancipation proclamation to every slave of sin who turns to Him for salvation. We have an emancipation proclamation because we are slaves to sin until Christ changes our hearts by the power of His Spirit in our lives. Fourthly, God had to die for this will to be in effect. He did die because Christ is God. Three persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Christ is God. So he died on the cross. A will is never in effect until the testator or the one who makes it dies. So Jesus died. He paid the price. And with his death, he put in effect the inheritance that he brought to us. And what an inheritance it is. As I said, this security cannot be changed, and it is permanent. Those promises that Christ made that we shall have eternal life. We shall be resurrected from the dead. We shall enjoy forever with him in the heavenly home. Another great passage in John, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I shall come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many mansions. Forever with the Lord. Some people enjoy great treasures here on earth, physical treasures. And many people don't. But my friends, that inheritance that is promised in Jesus Christ is greater and more magnificent than we could ever imagine. God has granted me many years on earth. But when I think of those years, they're short. They've been great and good. But when I think of eternity, oh my. What a joy. What wonderful promises will be fulfilled when I see my Savior face to face. You know, we read the Bible, we study theology, and we get the great promises given to us. And yet, there remains in our hearts and minds, I'm sure, many questions about sin, about why God doesn't change, and or why God didn't redeem everyone. But in this passage here, it tells us it's limited. And thus, even in this passage, chapter 9 of Hebrews, we come to many of the great cardinal doctrines of our faith. We're sinners. But we're elected, my friends, and if you don't believe it, I hope you will study Scripture and find out that we are. We're chosen by God. We have to be. We can't bring anything to the table. Only God can do that and change our lives. But also, that grace that he promised, if it comes to you and you are changed by that grace, it's irresistible and you will persevere forever. And so, as a member of the great Reformed biblical understanding of the faith, that tulip flower is always great to me. It explains, in a nutshell, where we are and where we can be in Jesus Christ, and receive the promises that are given there. Well, as we look at this fourth aspect in chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, where a will is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament or a will is in force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So it was necessary that Christ die in order for the inheritance to be handed out. And that handing out continues, my friends, fortunately for us, down through the ages. For if Christ had not died, the will would not be in effect. Someday, probably, your will be in effect as you die, and those people receive the blessings of your will, but they will not compare with what we receive in this will. Fifthly, God has appointed an executor for the will. You've already known or guessed who that person is, the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the executor of this will. Much depends in every will on the honesty and truthfulness of the executor. For a will is not worthwhile if that executor is not honest and truthful about carrying out the wishes of the one who made the will. But this will, under the executor who is the Holy Spirit, will be carried out to the minutest detail, for he is God too. So, this work of Jesus Christ in the age of grace in which you and I live today, fortunately we're still in it, and there are a great many people who are not in God's family out there. So the church has a great responsibility to fulfill its mission work in the world in which we live so that many people will enjoy their inheritance who are called by Christ through the proclamation of his word from this testament that we have in our hand. So, as we go through our lives, we must realize that we will receive no blessing, no inheritance, unless we meet the wills, teachings, and what they demand of us. So, the Holy Spirit is the one who makes us able to understand, remember that word, to understand the provisions of the will. He instructs us, he teaches us, he encourages us throughout the years that we have on this earth, and he sanctifies us. He causes us to grow in the knowledge of what this testament is giving us. And so, my friends, how thankful you and I should be today that we have an executor over the will of God who is relied upon absolutely to carry out the provisions of the will to all who are considered the heirs of the promise. Sixth, this will provides that those who attempt to break it shall receive nothing. And there are many people breaking the will today. There are a lot of churches today who have members who are not there worshiping God, and every Sunday they are absent. They're breaking the will. God demands worship. God demands our coming to him as we are here today to worship and glorify his name in his house of worship. We cannot be excused from that. For if we do, we are not going to receive the benefits of this will. In the case of human testaments or wills, people will strive to break the will, and it will not be possible. And there's no possibility of breaking God's will. Absolutely none. For as Jesus himself said, if ye believe that I am he, that is the one who God has sent to redeem us from our sins. If you believe that, then ye shall die. And if you do not believe it, you shall die in your sins. But if you believe it, you will receive eternal life. Here again, John says that in the 8th chapter, verse 24. He also reminds us this word. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's one of the greatest parts of this inheritance, is life. We think we have life now, but we're all going to face ailments, sickness, problems, troubles, face difficulties. And as you age, you realize more of those. The aches and pains are greater. The sight fades. The hearing begins to fade as well. The hair becomes thinner. And yet, we should be enjoying life even more, because we're getting closer to heaven. Closer to the benefits that we will enjoy forever. Furthermore, in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, 15 and 18 says that. Then we move on to Revelation, which I misspoke briefly. In the 22nd chapter, verses 18 and 19, he says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Therefore, my friends, it is absolutely therefore of the utmost importance that we all agree to take God's inheritance under the will and not try to obtain the inheritance without meeting the stipulations and conditions of faith in Jesus Christ. We dare not imagine that a faith which does not impel us to holiness will save us. Therefore, there is every reason why we should be willing to accept the terms of the will and abide by its provisions. Why? Because of the 6 items mentioned. It's authentic, my friend. It is authentic. And the riches are guaranteed and will be given. And thirdly, we know who the heirs are, and I hope you are. And fourthly, the will is in effect, and it's being carried out because there is an executor, the Holy Spirit. And it would be foolish, absolutely foolish, to try and break the will. But remember this, as a dead man cannot inherit an estate, no more can a man in a dead soul inherit heaven. Because if our soul is dead, we will receive no inheritance. But if it's alive in Christ, the inheritance is great. So selfish men may possess the earth. It is the meek only who shall inherit it from the Heavenly Father. And don't, my friends, try to alter the will. So I beseech you today, in view of what God says to us in this passage of Scripture from chapter 9 in Hebrews, view the goodness of God to take our inheritance under the will by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. And do not make the terrible mistake of trying to avoid it or getting into heaven any other way. It won't happen. And so, this Thanksgiving season and throughout our lives that we live on this earth, we should give thanks not only now in this Thanksgiving season, but every day of our lives for what Christ has done for us that we do not deserve, but by His grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, my friends, we should be giving thanks as heirs of these riches that we will inherit, and remember that Christ's death made His will in effect for all who have Him as their Savior, whereby you and I are justified before the very bar of God's justice. Or else, the judgment of hell. But isn't it better to have the promise of life and life eternal? I think so. As a matter of fact, I know so. God reveals it to us in this will. And many times there are people who do not know that they are in a will until it's read. Well, my friends, we have it. We have it, and we know if we are included in that will and inheritors of it, if we believe in Jesus Christ as revealed in His Word of Holy Scripture. Shall we pray? Almighty and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, how unworthy are we? And yet, even in our unworthiness, God has called us to be adopted into His family as sons and daughters of the promise through faith in our wonderful, redeeming Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He has included us to be heirs and inherit that eternal life which He has promised to us. And so we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.